Officials are saying lava heading towards Pahoa on Hawaii's Big Island has slowed for now, but that isn't putting anyone at ease. Over the next few days, we'll hear stories of how people are dealing with this uncertainty. We spent some time in Pahoa and found a town with a colorful past and an uncertain future. Janet Ikeda has a complicated relationship with the Kilauea volcano. If it weren't for the eruption in Kapoho, she never would have met her husband. He lived in the next town over, but moved to Pahoa after the lava took his family's home. That was 60 years ago.
My husband's house was the first house to be covered by lava.
Ikeda, now 79, has lived in the sleepy town of Pahoa her whole life. Her barber shop is at the far end of the main road in town. She says she remembers helping out as a young girl. Back then, it was owned by her grandfather, Ryuichi Sakura, who emigrated from Hiroshima in the late 1890s.
And when I was 14, 15, I used to come down and sweep the shop for him. And I said, what the heck? I might as well learn how to cut there.
And that's exactly what Ikeda did. She's now been cutting hair here for 65 years. And the store, Jan's Barber and Beauty Shop, is the oldest business in Pahoa. Stepping in is like walking into a time capsule. Old-fashioned barber stools line the side, and the back wall is chock full of memories. Framed photos of her grandchildren, a collection of Japanese lucky cats waving back at customers.
So this is my life. Whenever I had anything in the newspaper, Tribune Herald, Advertiser, I always cut it and I always put it up there.
There's even a photograph from a couple years ago when the town chose her as the Grand Marshal for the Christmas parade. But all this could be gone in a couple weeks if the lava continues on its path towards the town. Ikeda says the mood in Puna has grown tense as the lava edges closer, and for many, turning to prayer is all they have left.
Everybody's getting nervous. Of course I'm nervous. It's sad to think about it, you know? It's sad. All my life I've been here, never did have anything like this. But I said, I say my prayers, and hopefully Madam Pele will spare us.
Other local businesses have already started closing up shop. On the other side of town, Sean Hurd stands outside her store, Puna Style. The bright purple and pink building she's worked in for the past 25 years is now half empty. Friends and customers in town stop by to wish her well.
Hey, Bill.
Take it out.
Pretty empty.
Time is now.
The time is now. That's it, boy.
We're bringing in a generator. I think we're going to keep running here. Well, hopefully we'll keep running. Who knows?
Who knows?
Hurd spent the past weekend filling boxes with friends and moving them into a container. That's where they'll stay for now, until she figures out what to do next.
Right now, I feel way better than I did. If you would have asked me this last Friday, I probably would have been in tears. But it was just, you know, it's the unknown and the scariness of it all and that. And, you know, this is my livelihood.
Hurd says this isn't the first time she's had to move from a lava flow. 3 decades ago, she left her home in Kalapana.
I lived in Royal Gardens in 1983 when she went off. I had lived there 6 months. So I have already been through this before.
Even so, Hurd seems at peace with the possibility that she'll have to move once again.
You know, it's hard and, I don't know, you do what you gotta do. You go on. If living here has taught me nothing else, that it's literally an island of change, and you've got to change with it. And it's a new chapter opening up.
A new chapter that remains uncertain for the nearly 1,000 people living in Pahoa. Molly Solomon for HPR News. Lava flowing from Kilauea Volcano towards the town of Pahoa has finally arrived, crossing residential property lines early Tuesday morning. Residents have had weeks to prepare for the slow-moving disaster and are now faced with the reality that their homes and businesses could be in danger. For Deidre Perry, not knowing what comes next has been the hardest part. Over the past few months, she and her family have slowly been packing up their home. They just finished loading most of their belongings onto a truck and are driving it up to a storage unit in Hilo. Her house off Post Office Road is in the direct path of the flow that's been advancing towards the town of Pahoa since June.
Very surreal. It's been a long kind of wait and see type of thing. So It's been kind of stressful, and you know, we're all anxious to see what's going to happen and where is it going. But yeah, every day, the more updates is the better. You know, people want to know what's going on.
Perry shares the house with her brother Dylan and her three kids.
They're a little bit sad, you know, of course, to see their house go. The 3-year-old keeps asking, "Oh, is the lava coming? Is the lava coming?" Like, yeah, it's coming. So nothing we can do though.
Perry and her family plan to move in with her mom for the time being, who owns a place in Hawaiian Beaches. Perry, who owns the property, does plan on staying as long as she can. Hawaii County Civil Defense says no mandatory evacuation orders have been given. People like Perry, whose homes are in the path of the lava flow, can stay and watch the destruction of their homes. Daryl Oliveira is the county civil defense director.
It's an opportunity for them to document what's happening on their property for insurance purposes or for record keeping, as well as its closure for many of the residents. This is their home. This is maybe a home for many generations in their families, and this is going to be a very difficult time for them.
Resident Mark DeVita describes the feeling of uncertainty that's been hanging over the town as the lava slowly approaches.
In one way, it's kind of a, like you said, a slow-moving disaster. In another way, it really makes people aware of the community and who they live around and, you know, how to handle things, how to help people out.
From the main road in town, the lava's plume of smoke is easy to spot. Derek Hall takes in the sight from a parking lot near the post office.
This really has the attention of the community because this has the potential of cutting the rest of the island off from us.
Hall has lived in the area for the past 25 years. He says the lava creeping towards town will forever change Pahoa. But he remains hopeful the community will get through this.
People are pretty resilient here, though. They just, you know, when everybody got inundated in Kalapana, they just moved up the hill to here, actually, thinking that this was a more safe place, which it is. But it just goes to show that with a 30-year eruption, you know, it just goes wherever it chooses.
Molly Solomon for HPR News.
Of the many stories of loss and change that surround the lava flow moving to isolate parts of Pahoa, few rival the story of the Buddhist cemetery just outside town. The century-old graveyard is home to primarily Japanese immigrants, many of whom worked in the sugarcane fields that once bordered the town. We visited Pahoa last week and have this story of one family's history forever changed by the lava. Last month, Aiko Sato carried a bucket of red ginger to her car. She was heading out to the Pahoa Japanese Cemetery to pay respect to the graves of her ancestors, part of her weekly ritual. But this time was different. The slow-moving lava heading towards town now had the cemetery in its path.
Something told me I had to go.
Hawaii County Civil Defense had already blocked the main road. After hearing Aiko's story, a state official agreed to drive her out to see the graves.
And he told me, take my time. So I was able to place flowers at the family grave, and I felt relief because I knew that would probably be the final time, and I guess it was.
The next day, Aiko woke up to find the cemetery had been overrun, taken by lava overnight.
When I opened up the computer, they had this national news about the lava going through the cemetery. I cried because I figured probably the Sato grave went. Yeah.
I always thought the cemetery would be not going to be covered by the lava.
That's Aiko's aunt, Eiko Kujiyama, who lives down the street with her son. She remembers the phone call from Aiko that morning, telling her the cemetery was gone.
But when she called me, I was shocked to hear that it was covered. Sad, and every time I pray, don't take the cemetery, and please spare, you know, the whole village. But when she called me, I got in tears too.
The loss means something extra to the Sato family. Aiko's father, Hiro, spent most of his life caring for the graves of Japanese immigrants buried at the Pahoa Japanese Cemetery, filled with people that built the town, including his parents and siblings. He's also known for writing the book Pahoa Yesterday, a historical account of the town's early years. Evidence of his extensive research on the former sugarcane town are scribbled on pieces of paper Aiko is carefully packing away.
All of his things.
The last of his manuscripts I sent out, all of his other tidbits, information that he had stored, that went earlier.
Aiko clears a pile of his papers from the dining room table as movers carry a set of chairs down to the carport. She's evacuating the family home in case the lava takes a turn. Her once crowded living room is now empty, except for an ottoman and the TV.
So where you go eat you?
Oh, no, I kept a 2-foot table.
Oh.
And a couple of arms.
At a community meeting last week, a scientist with the USGS approached Aiko and her aunt with news about the family grave.
Everything was up in the air as to whether the grave was still standing. And at the lava update meeting, we found out that the grave had survived. Sato, the family name, is still distinct. And to see the lava completely around the gravestone, I mean, it's like a miracle that it was not totally covered.
I ask Aiko, what would her father say, knowing the grave he so diligently cared for had survived?
It would bring him a lot of joy, happiness, that it's still there.
At this point, so is Aiko. With the family grave secure, she hopes to stay in the home her family's lived in for generations. Molly Solomon for HPR News. The leading edge of the lava slowed to a stall Thursday. The lava, which has not advanced in the past 24 hours, is still 480 feet from Pahoa Village Road. Hundreds of residents attended a community meeting last night seeking answers and information on the lava front. It was another packed room at the Pahoa High cafeteria as residents met to hear the latest updates on the lava flow. The Thursday night meetings have been ongoing for months, ever since the lava started creeping towards the town in late June. Officials from Civil Defense, HELCO, USGS, and other agencies were on hand to discuss how the city is preparing.
It will change things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nicole and Clyde Robinson are residents in Lower Puna. They said while their house is not in the direct path of the lava, other factors remain a concern.
We've succumbed to the idea that we're going to be cut off, and so our 33-minute drive to Hilo is going to be a 2.5-hour drive.
The Robinsons say they've gone to almost all the Thursday community meetings since the beginning of September. Nicole says she values the updates, especially in an area that's seen its share of natural disasters in recent months. Before the threat of lava, the Robinsons were hit hard by Hurricane Isel and lost power for over a week.
We've only missed a couple.
Yeah.
Two or three. We've gone almost all the time. And we do... You know, we come out of it feeling a little shaken. Sometimes we say, oh, gee, I don't know if I want to go to another one of those again. But, you know, the information's there, so you do go.
Other residents, like Diane from Nunavale, enjoy the sense of community at the weekly updates.
I feel good coming to the meetings because everybody's here. And
yeah.
Everybody's on the same page about what's happening. They keep us informed. They're doing a great job. So I feel good coming to the meetings.
Yeah.
You just get it. Better sense of the community and how we are sticking together. You know, people you don't know, you know. It feels good.
What would Puna be without Pahoa?
I know. Lost.
Totally different.
Lost.
Her neighbor, Ananda Maya, doesn't plan to wait and see where the lava flows. She's already decided to leave and move up to Hilo. The thought of being cut off prompted her to start packing.
Yeah, so it's interesting the people that are staying and they're going. There's a lot of people that left and a lot of people are staying.
Most of the long-time residents, they're staying. They're just sticking it out. They've seen this before. It's, you know, it is what it is.
That sentiment is true for Lloyd Enriquez and Betty DiQuito, longtime residents of Pahoa.
She lives right there by the school also. We're not leaving. This is where we're from. This is where we're from. You know, we're from Pahoa. Our parents been through this and they never left, so.
Actually, all of us who are from here don't want to leave. You know? We live here all our lives.
Ikaika Marso, who's also lived in Pahoa his whole life, says no matter where the lava goes, he's staying.
We live with lava. We know the outcome of us living in this area being a high percentage of getting hit by lava. And, you know, all of us that is originally from here, we all help each other out, you know. That's the reason why we don't want to leave, is because we don't have no other place to go. And we all can count on each other for help, you know. So I don't want to move someplace and I can't, you know, and that kind of feeling is not there.
Molly Solomon for HPR News. While the lava continued to stall over the weekend, USGS geologists stressed the flow is far from over, leaving residents and business owners in Pahoa preparing for the possibility they may be cut off. Local shops and restaurants are grappling with the decision of whether or not to stay. It's been a busy week for the Locavore store, a shop in Pahoa Town that sells local produce. Owner Katerina Zaragoza says sales have been up as tourists and neighbor island visitors have passed through the town, hoping for a glimpse of the lava. But she worries as the flow edges closer to the main road, potentially cutting off Highway 130.
That, for us, will sever us from about half of the people who we work with, half of our suppliers, how we stock our shelves. Similarly, there's potential issues that could come up around electricity, phone line usage. Our bank is on the other side of the flow. The post office is possibly relocating. So it's definitely going to create a lot of pretty significant logistical challenges for people that are staying on this side.
That's why this is the last day the Locavore store will be open. They're closing down their brick-and-mortar shop on Pahoa Village Road and plan to reopen in Hilo or Keaau.
Gives us a little more, you know, mobility in a sense over here instead of being locked down into a potentially precarious scenario we are dealing with now.
Zaragoza says the long-term plan is to come back to Pahoa in the form of a delivery service. That way they can still provide produce to customers based in Lower Puna, as well as pick up orders from farmers on the south side of the flow. Zaragoza says leaving Pahoa is bittersweet, calling the closure of her shop the end of an era.
It's a time that we'll all remember and we will all talk about for the rest of our lives, and it's going to change all of our lives.
Man, we're going to miss little Pahoa Town. I don't know. I hope it leaves something. I hope it leaves something for us to come back to.
Other businesses are also grappling with the question of should I stay or should I go? Tiffany Edwards Hunt is the co-owner of Jeff Hunt Surfboards and a Hawaii County Council candidate. Hunt says if the lava crosses the main highway and continues towards the ocean, Pahoa could become a ghost town.
That is going to be our key challenge, is when instead of this becoming the thoroughfare for everyone crossing in, it becomes the end of the road, an afterthought. It's going to become more and more difficult to try to maintain a sense of normalcy in this town.
We see the smoke every now and then, and you can smell the burning brush.
Paul Udis is the owner of Black Rock Cafe, a restaurant about a quarter mile from the active flow front. The slow-moving lava has given him time to think of options, but it's also been agonizing to wait and see what happens.
Slowing down, speeding up, it's like torture. Oh, I'm pretty scared. The realism started hitting me and started worrying a little bit more. But you can't do anything about it. You kind of have to sit and wait, which is probably the hardest part, I guess. Yeah. The business continues on, so you really don't want to clear everything out and stop your business when it could be for nothing.
And businesses that are choosing to stay, like Black Rock Cafe, are banking on the hope they won't have to. Molly Solomon for HPR News.